The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Seven minutes after 12 midday, fast am I. Good afternoon. Wednesday lunchtime across the Isle of Man. Man in Line's with you. Through till 1, call 66 13 68 if you want to put your view across. You can text on 166 177, email studio at manxradio.com. Well, the story is then EasyJet chipping out for a while. And you just wonder why, how, what did we do to deserve that? Any thoughts on this, particularly if you're heading to Manchester to connect with a leisure flight, maybe flying elsewhere in the world? How do you feel about that? And what do you think we should do? But then again, it's a capitalist world. EasyJet have decided to chip out for a while to not bother with us. So is it a surprise to you? Do you think this is something that the government should get involved in? Obviously, they're saying now, perhaps Loganair will do something about it. Well, we'll see. And talking of which, do you remember in the dim and distant past, was it 2015 was the last flight to Blackpool? Do you remember when we used to have flights quite regularly to Blackpool, sometimes four a day at one time, and the last carrier to fly to and from Blackpool was Citywing? And then Blackpool Airport, although it was owned then by the council, got sold to a company called Balfour Beatty. But recently, in fact, last year, it was purchased by Blackpool Council again. So will Blackpool Council, will they encourage airlines to fly from Blackpool? Will get hold of the leader of Blackpool Council, Lynn Williams, hopefully later on Man in Line, just to see whether or not we could ever have flights between the Isle of Man and Blackpool again. Would you use them if they were there? Let's get to the phones, first of all. Here's Julian on Man in Line. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Just a quick follow-up from the conversation that I had with Julie Edge the other day on your programme.
Yeah.
One piece of information that she revealed was that Jersey's had a review of their extensive sports facilities in 2018 by the same consultancy firm, Knight, Cavanaugh and Page, who I understand appear to have been fast-tracked and are going to be on the Isle of Man doing their review on July the 12th, which is just 3 weeks away. If anyone wants to read Jersey's review, it's free for download. If you search online for Sports Facility Delivery Report, so that's Sports Facility Delivery Report, and the first search result should have the gov.je prefix in the address, which is the Jersey government's website. Now, this website shows that the cost of the review in 2018 for Jersey sports centres was £48,519, which may well be significantly more now as it's 4 years later. And if you roll down the page a bit, there's a little free download link where you can get hold of the report. Now, that report's quite interesting. It's got two interesting insights, which I thought I'd share with you. It states that there are four public community pools in Jersey, just like the Isle of Man. But on page 29 of the report, the swimming pool summary states that even though Jersey's community pools give sufficient access to meet all the users' needs, the potential growth of the learn to swim ethos may fundamentally underpin a case for an extra pool in St Helier. Now, Jersey has about a fifth greater population than the Isle of Man. And if you add in an extra community swimming pool, that would bring Jersey's total to five, if they adopt the consultant's advice telling them to do that. This would bring Jersey up to the same pool-to-population ratio as the Isle of Man already enjoys, because we've got a one pool to 21,000 inhabitants. So meaning that the Isle of Man already has the optimum number of community pools, according to Knight, Cavanaugh and Page, as there is their advice is being given. Now, the second insight is interesting too. On page 14 of that report, the review states, and I'll quote, "Within the majority of contemporary leisure facility designs, cafe areas are located as close to reception as possible to maximize footfall and minimize supervision costs. Now, the Southern Swimming Pool is one of only two of the pools on the island that has this modern feature. And the integration of the Southern Swimming Pool Cafe was designed by local architects Savage and Chadwick. Now, this also means that the cafe staff, and a couple of those are facing the push next month in the Southern Swimming Pool's modern design, you might say, they also process pool entry payments, swimming lesson bookings, and supervise access and security. So when you refer to them as cafe staff, it's a little bit inaccurate that they have those other duties. Something else that occurs to me is, in light of the recent closure of Castletown Bowling Green Cafe, if you're going to close Southern Swimming Pool Cafe imminently, that's going to be another blow for Castletown's growing population. I'm just minded of last year, Julie Edge, in her election manifesto, had three tenets at the top of that manifesto. And those three tenets were transparency, accountability, and budget control, no overspend. So it's interesting, isn't it, Andy?
Are you encouraged by what Knight, Kavanagh and Page have written for Jersey? Do you think they're pro-swimming pool?
It seems so. I mean, what they're basically saying is that with this learn to swim push, and I think I've seen that, even at the NSC, there's this learn to swim thing. They've definitely got it at Castletown. I don't remember seeing it at Peel, but I'm sure they do. I mean, you know, I think they're all doing that. You know, it's always a good idea to learn to swim. They're actually extolling the virtues of having an extra pool on Jersey. Now, if they have an extra one, they will then be roughly within the same kind of, I think she quoted, that she said something about the number of meters, square meters of water for population. Well,
yes, she did. Yeah.
There you go. Their report is saying that.
And interesting, I mean, it's very interesting to look at the Jersey, the gov.je, and particularly the fact they put how much every report costs. They're very open about how much the reports cost, straight out, £48,519.
Well, you've got to ask the question, I mean, how much have things gone up, especially in the recent 6 months? I mean, how much, a £50,000 consultation, roughly, what's that going to cost now? Was I far out?
I wonder how long they're going to be on the Isle of Man for as well.
It makes you wonder. But I think Barbara Brereton made out that the result was going to be next year, but it seems that it's going to be a bit shorter than that, I would have thought, if they're here now.
Here's hoping, Julian. Here's hoping.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Julian. Here's David now on Man in Line. Hi, David.
Hi, Randy. Just on the same subject, really. I was disappointed, really, that Julie never told us the population, because we give the money to government to make expend of what the what I would call terms of reference. We need to know what the terms of reference were given to this company that went out to tender, or companies that went out to tender, to say what they were looking for. Was the government looking for, have we too many pools in the Isle of Man? Should cafes be involved? I don't know what the terms of reference would be. I've requested a copy of the terms of reference, which would never be a secret. It's not a national secret what the terms of reference are, which annoys me all the time when the AG's office is involved and then the Minister for Education the education department itself. We should be able to find out if they're doing anything at all in government, what the terms of reference are to what we want. Because we want to make sure the terms of reference are suit the Isle of Man, suit the population, what we want. Where's the public interest in this pool? There's a lot of it. But where's it going to be expressed to this company that's coming across? And like you say, somebody said, the other lady said, it's going to be in a year's time, this consultation. Here we are, when we now know roughly it's going to be about 12th of July, and what are they going to do?
Tell me, David, how can the wrong terms of reference prejudice or get, flaw a report?
Well, we don't know what the terms of reference are. And that's the major thing to me on all the reports that I ever seen. The department or the government would have a terms of reference and I probably know what the outcome's going to be, and I'll put it on the record now. It'll be either government take it over and it becomes a taxpayer issue, and then the local authorities would be void of that because it'd be a central pot but then the taxes will go up to pay for the costs of running the pools, which I don't mind as a taxpayer as such. Or it'll say the local authorities should raise their rates by, I don't know, 5-6% to cover the extra cost of modernising the pools.
And what do you think is more equitable, David?
I would like it to be open and transparent. That's the main thing for us. So when this company comes over, does it then talk to all the stakeholders in there, which would be the swimming clubs, the over 60s clubs or whatever, people that meet for social occasions and what they want on the island? Because we have fantastic facilities in the NSC, apart from the flumes, Ramsey and Peel. You know, why shouldn't a southern place be up there? And then just to throw, they're not putting the staff out, they're making them redundant, I presume, so there'll be a redundancy package in there as well. I mean, that's going to cost quite a bit of money. And I feel sorry for people that's under that sort of pressure. Andy, can I just go to one as well, just to throw it into the mix?
Okay.
Nothing to do with pools, but regarding the statement the DEFA minister said, where she wanted the point in time when all the residents on the Isle of Man are going to be green. Now, there was a debate in Timwell that said, I don't know, what, I forget what the date was now, it said in another 5-10 years, and they're going to go towards that. They put money in the kitty, the $42 million, don't forget, and we've done nothing about it. We haven't gone green anywhere. But to tell people they can't put what they want in their own properties, that's not right. That's against our human rights as individuals. If we want to put something in which suits us as an individual, that's all right to do that. And she can't influence the planning committee to say you can't have your plans approved because you haven't got this or you haven't got that.
Okay. All right. Appreciate that, David.
Bye.
Thanks for calling us today. Can't the Isle of Man government charter a plane to go to Manchester? Maybe they could get that one the UK is trying to send to Rwanda. Oh, I don't know about that, Bill. Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. I just listened to the chap that was on before, David. The swimming pools, etc., they are a godsend. Personally, I can't swim, and it was down to when I was at school. put the fear of God into me, but I regret it, and I have done all my life. But our great-grandson is 10 years old and is at school and was taking swimming lessons provided by the school. But they have stopped, and they've stopped early on in this year, and they won't be having any swimming lessons, as far as I know, until September.
Which school is this, Howard?
Hmm?
Which school?
St. Thomas's.
Okay.
But I don't know the other schools are the same way. But that's a long time to be away from learning to swim. So his mum and myself, we've paid for extra lessons for him at the NSC. And the extra lessons down there are encouraging not only our great-grandson, but several others, quite a few others, different age groups, to swim. And he is loving it, which is a great thing. Because, as I said to him, if you can't swim and you're going on holiday with your mum, dad, etc., I said, you're going to be sitting on the edge of the pool instead of joining in. He said, yes, you're right, Grandad. And he's now down each week down at the NSC, and they're brilliant. But for that time, we had to go then to a private paid-for service. But the schools themselves are not using the facilities as they should do. As I say, that's a long time between, well, almost Easter, I think it was.
Did they say why they're not doing it, Howard?
No, they're not. It just stopped. I don't know if any other schools are in the same predicament or not, but if that's the case, then this will be one of the reasons why the pools are not occupied to the full extent. But it's a shame because, as I say, swimming is very health-related, and I won't go down through all the context of it, but it must be a money saver in the long term. And as I say, we've paid for these extra lessons. Otherwise, he would have been devoid of any swimming right through from the early spring up until September at the earliest.
Can I be cheeky, Howard, and ask how much you had to pay for the lessons?
Oh, they're fairly cheap. I can't remember exactly, but you're only talking in £20-30. You go in banks of about 6 weeks, and you pay for X number of weeks, and you can keep adding to it. And it is, it's in the proper pool of the down there at the NSC, and proper people that go in with them, proper teachers, shall we say, that go in the pool with the children. And he's enjoying it more now than when he was at school, and they did have once a week swimming lessons. And that basically was only half an hour with one of their teachers.
Mm. Well, that's good news, but as you say, that you had to go private to get that done.
Yes. Well, we chose to go private, shall we say. It's not a case of having to, but we chose to go private to give additional lessons.
Mm.
But these additional lessons are going to be filling in right through from when they ceased to where they possibly begin again, if they do.
Okay.
So that is, that's the school curriculum.
Jolly good. All right. We appreciate that. Thanks a lot, Howard.
Take care. Bye now.
Good to talk to you. And Viv joins us on Man in Line now. Hi, Viv.
Hi, Andy. Thanks very much. Could be a bit nervous. I had the privilege last night of going to the Southern swimming pool and watching a swimming competition amongst a pile of children there. And I was blown away by how wonderful it was down there. There was a guy with a magic wand called a whistle that commanded peace and quiet. And in between races, music came on where the kids were happy, smiling. There was lots of jovialness, support for each other during the swimming competition. And it brings up the assessment of the true value of the facility there. Health, well-being, sportsmanship, camaraderie, discipline, maybe an ability to save lives later on from learning to swim. And surely all this runs alongside school. And perhaps that should be the true value and not the monetary value of what is going on.
Well, you're quite right, Viv. There's what something costs and there's what its value is. And as you say, cost and value are often different things.
Yeah. Being involved in the 80s, I was in swimming pools, did a little bit of management. And Mrs. Thatcher, the milk snatcher, decided to close down many of outdoor swimming pools in the area in the same sort of scenario as what's going on now. And consultants come. They make a decision with no thought for the area or the people because they get a good wage at the end of the day. They have a get-out clause for a mistake. And then also they go away and answer to no one because they've got their money. And then the politicians hide behind these people. Once they've gone, oh, well, that's the advice we received from these highly qualified people. Now, there's people like myself who's not so highly qualified or so highly experienced can challenge that by saying, it's gone, but it's too late. And like back to Margaret Thatcher, that regretted stealing our milk. And the area that I come from, the pool's been closed. They shouldn't lose this facility. It's far too valuable.
How many people were at the Southern Pool last night?
I estimated between 30 and 50 youngsters. When I was leaving, I could see that they were doing a raffle to raise money for this club. And they are ready. I give a small donation, which they were delighted for. Playing rugby on the Isle of Man, there's highly big sponsors and people get loads of sponsorship from it. This is grassroots sport where their discipline can go on to save lives, you know, in life-saving education where they learn the philosophy and the physiology of your body. It's much more than swimming, you know. It's like any other sport. It teaches so much disciplines and I believe it should be kept.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Phil, for calling. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. 25 past 12. Betty's on now. Hello, Betty.
Oh, hi, Andy. I just totally agree with all the others that have been talking about the swimming pool. I don't think we need these independent reviews. What we need is a little bit of common sense, which a lot don't seem to have, the MHKs. They want us to encourage everybody to be more active, and this is one way of doing it, certainly is. What I actually think, and I know this won't be popular, particularly with the MHKs, I think we need less MHKs. I know I was told when I brought this up before that according to Timwell we had to have 24, but surely that can be changed. if we have 24 MHKs, it costs us about 1,400,000 pounds or something or more each year. I think that's too much to pay out. Other towns and in England make do with just two MHKs. Well, they call them MPs over there. I think even if we just halved the number, it would be fine. And I just would like to ask the MHKs, what do they find to do all day? I really wonder, with so many of them. And, you know, that's my question. What do the MHKs find to do all day?
What do you think should happen? Bearing in mind, Betty, that the Southern Pool is coming towards the end of its life. It's 50-odd years old. I mean, what do you think should happen?
Well, I think we probably need another one down there. It will be expensive, and we haven't got a lot of money. But as I was saying, if we had less MHKs, we'd have more money to spend on things like that. That's one of my points, really. People are to be encouraged to be more active so that they can be fit longer. So I think we need to spend that money and get a new pool. And perhaps even encourage businesses to provide some of the money for it, and or even voluntary donations. But I'm all in favour of the pools, really.
Okay. All right, Betty. We appreciate that.
I would really like to know what the MHKs do all day.
Thanks for calling, Betty.
Thank you.
All right, good to talk to you. And here's Carol on Man in Line. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
You're live on air, Carol.
Yes, okay, that's fine. I just wanted to speak up in support of the pools. I'm well over 70, and I swim in the pool, in the Southern Pool, 5 times a week, 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm not the only over 70. There are a whole group of us that are there about that time. We all get up, we all go there for health reasons. Swimming's an incredible way to keep our bodies supple and to keep ourselves moving at this age. And I intend swimming in that pool for as long as I'm able to.
Even in the middle of winter?
All the way through the winter. I go all year. And the thought of that facility being taken away from me is absolutely devastating.
What's the feeling amongst the other people swimming at that time in the morning about this shadow hanging over?
Exactly the same as mine. We all desperately want that pool to stay open. Some people are there because the doctor has recommended they go. We've got people, as well as the over 70s, we've got younger people as well that come. But yeah, they usually come at 7 o'clock before work. And as they get out, we all get in. It's only a small pool, but it's adequate. It does us fine. I don't care whether we have a new pool or whether we keep the one we've got, so long as we keep it. I also want to keep the cafe. I use that every day as well. After my swim, I have a cup of coffee. And it's part of the swimming experience. And quite apart from the swimming, the fact that there are the same group of people that are there every day, it's a social experience as well, because we all know each other now. We all care about each other. I just desperately don't want it to close.
Okay.
I just can't imagine waking up in the morning and not going swimming.
Is it a social swim, or do you do the butterfly or the backstroke? What do you do?
I do breaststroke, and I swim half a mile every morning.
So you do two and a half miles a week?
Yeah.
So do you go 7 days a week or just weekdays?
I go 5 days a week, oh. Monday to Friday. It's the young people's pool at the weekend.
So your message to the consultants who are coming over to look at pools and the Southern Pool, what would it be?
Keep the pool open. Keep us some sort of facility down in the south, because if it closes, there's no way any of us will be going into Douglas each day or any of the other pools. We just lose that ability to swim.
Okay, Carol.
That would be devastating.
All right. Thanks for calling today.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. 29 minutes before one.
Hi, Andy. It's Bruce and Ramsey. I just wanted to bring to attention, probably other people have noticed as well, that Lloyd's Chemist are unable to seem to provide a service just now, especially on the Parliament Street one because of the St Paul's Square one being closed. If you go in there, you seem to end up queuing up 20 deep for about half an hour. And then when you try phoning them, yesterday I managed to speak on the phone. Now, the same phone number, it keeps patching me through to a fax number, which is ridiculous. How are they supposed to deal with customers if you can't speak to them? I think the management need to do something and get their finger out, and they need to find a solution to this because it's not a service that's acceptable for the general public. In fact, it's ridiculous.
Now at ShopRite, you can get our low prices on your favourite national brands. Or you could switch and save with our huge range of buy Sainsbury's products for even lower prices. Choose from hundreds of products in store, with more arriving all the time. And the best part, you can enjoy savings of up to 35%. Compromising quality? We are talking Sainsbury's, and you can't say better than that. Sainsbury's at ShopRite. Proudly locally owned.
What's too hot in summer and too cold in winter? Your conservatory. Well now, Phoenix Windows can convert your conservatory roof with a solid, lightweight, insulated roof to turn your conservatory into a room you can comfortably use all year round. Phoenix Windows, for free estimates, free surveys, bespoke made-to-measure windows, guaranteed work, and all-island coverage. For your free, no-obligation quotation, call 816628 or visit phoenixwindows-iom.com.
£15,000 discount?
Yep.
I can buy a new Maxus electric van at Outdoor Power and Plant with up to £15,000 discount?
Yes, I keep telling you.
That really is taking the savings to the Maxus. Get it?
Flipping heck. Up to £15,000 discount on a new Maxus at Outdoor Power and Plant. They've great deals on conventional diesel vans too. So head down to Snugborough Trading Estate or phone 611341 for details.
This is my last will and testament. To my family, I leave years of financial headaches, large legal bills, and the prospect of having to sell our home to pay for it all.
Is that the legacy you choose to leave? Without a proper will and thorough planning, it could happen. Mann Benham Advocates, experiencing wills, probate and estate planning with a friendly service to make sure the future of your loved ones are secure. Don't put it off. Call 639350 for your free initial consultation with Mann Benham. Here for you.
Tune in and chill out with Chris Pearson on Manx Radio.
The Chill Out Show from Manx Radio. Sunday evenings between 7 and 9. A great way to kick back, relax and wind down from your weekend or your workend.
Manx Radio. Chris Pearson, the Sunday Chill Out.
Sundays from 7 till 9.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint. That's to my 25 to 1. Tony's on Man in Line now. Hi, Tony.
Good afternoon, Andy. Just thought I'd call in. I'm a long-time listener, but don't contribute very often. A lady was on earlier talking about the number of MHKs and commenting about being like a small town in the UK.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard this so many times over the years, and I just thought I'd throw this into the pot. I was born and bred in Guildford in Surrey, which is a town of, I think it's about 200,000 people. I'm using it as a comparison because I know the town. Now, we have two hospitals over here. Guildford has two hospitals as well. But what they don't have is a Department of Health. So they don't need an MHK for the hospitals. Over here, we do. Guildford has a university, a college, various schools. But they don't have their own Department of Education, that's central government. So they don't need an MHK for that, or an MP. We do. And this goes through the fire brigade, the police, the Guildford Divisional Police headquarters. They don't need an MP because that's central government. So we've got all the same facilities as a small town, but we have to have the departments to actually run them. Guildford has a tax office, doesn't have a treasury, doesn't need a treasury minister. So whenever you hear these comparisons of the Isle of Man to a small town, they seem to be missing that sort of factor.
Oh, well, the fact that we are, I mean, we're a nation, we're a micro nation, we're a small jurisdiction, but we are a jurisdiction.
Exactly. So we need all these different departments to run the country. So therefore, we need the MHKs to make up the, or the number of MHKs to make up for what in the UK would be run from Whitehall with the main government.
It's a moot point about governance on the Isle of Man, because obviously we have 21 local boards as well. We have that level of government, as well as a lower house and an upper chamber.
Yeah, and Guildford has its own council. There's the county council as well. So they have the same layers in amongst that as well. But I just thought I'd throw that one into the pot and see what sort of reaction I get.
Okay, well, your opinion, are we over-governed, or are we? Do we have the right level of representation?
I don't know, but I would say we do need more MHKs to run us as a country than a town would need to run a town.
Okay, appreciate that. And thanks for calling, Tony. We appreciate that.
No problem.
All right, good to talk to you. Get that all the time. Lots of people, and the fact that, of course, the vast majority of people never call Man in Line, but listen assiduously, and it's good you do. Bonzo's on now. Hi, Bonzo.
Yeah, hi there. Yes, agree with Tony. Yes, people do have absolutely the wrong idea when it comes to how government on the island is organised, and I think Betty displayed that kind of misunderstanding very, very well. But what I was wanting to talk about was the Southern Swimming Pool and the consultants who are being brought in to look at the problem. And I think we can see where things are going here. If I remember rightly, I think planning permission has been applied for by King William's College and or a consortium of which they are a part for the large for a large swimming complex which includes an Olympic-sized swimming pool. Am I right in remembering that?
Yes, it is. It will be Olympic-sized.
Yes, but has the planning application gone in or has it been granted? I'm not quite sure.
I don't think it's been granted, but also as well as a proper pool, there are retail outlets which will be part of it.
Yeah, yeah. So there will be a pool complex, which obviously will want to be economically viable. Now, I can see that the consultants will then look at that, and then they will look at the swimming pool, and then they will conclude that what the Southern authorities should do is buy public access, and BSC should buy schools access to the KWC and associates pool, those Southern Swimming Pool.
What about the fact, I mean, it is further away, it's right next to the airport, it won't be walking distance, it's obviously it won't be next to Castle Rushen High School, it won't be opposite the Buchan School, it won't be near the other schools in town. So do you think that would be enough to satisfy demand, that brand new pool at KWC?
Well, it might be, it could satisfy demand. And, of course, the economic case will be made that that demand can be satisfied at less cost to the tax and rate payer by doing that, rather than operating the southern swimming pool or bringing it up to scratch or replacing it entirely.
It will be the first time, obviously, that currently is a municipal pool, and this will be a private pool where public access is bought from it. Do you think that would affect the model of the other pools at all?
Ah, well, there's a thought. There would be some people who might suggest that the operation of swimming pools is one of those things that government really ought not to be doing.
And is that a view you share?
No, that's not a view I share, because I think these are civic facilities. And the orientation of that and the services that they provide should be about providing the service and then, to a certain extent, seeing how that service is funded, rather than taking the view of cost first and provision later.
Okay. All right, Bonzo, thanks for that. Appreciate your call.
Okay.
Thank you. Eddie joins Man in Line now. Hi, Eddie.
Me already? I thought he said there was another one.
Steady, Eddie, matter. You're on.
Steady, Eddie, yeah. I was on a Monday, as you remember. I had a good chat to your MHK. I don't know whether you agree with me, Andy, but every now and again you get a subject which seems to hit the heart of everybody in a particular part of the island, and I think you've got one this week, haven't you? It's a non-stop pool today.
Well, yeah. Everybody has an opinion, even non-swimmers, of course. Do you swim, Eddie?
Of course I do, yeah. Yep, I do indeed. And guess where I learnt?
Go on.
Sudden swimming pool. Which brings me to, I've got about half a dozen little points. I'll be as quick as I can.
Okay.
I was chatting to a gang of lads in Port Erin there the other day, and they were all jumping off the harbour and everything. And we know they're told not to and everything. But they looked after each other, they cared for each other, and I kept asking them, I said, where did you learn to swim? And they all said exactly the same, sudden swimming pool. And every one of them was a good swimmer, and I don't think you can get that anywhere in Britain, where I come from, in the Manchester area, some of Stu Peters, your predecessor, who I've got a moment to spare in a minute, yeah, they can't swim over there. Here they can. If you look at all the big sea resorts over there, the lifeguards are there and they're on duty more or less every one of the beaches in England on the resorts, and they have an awful lot of work to do because of people getting into trouble. We don't have that here, and it's the reason is because we teach nearly every one of our kids to swim. Right? That's a great point, don't you think, to keep that open?
Yep, carry on.
Yep, the second point I want to do is probably our MHK that was on Monday will be listening to this programme and just see how everybody is up in arms about it. There's going to be an awful lot of protests, right? And I don't know why, but in Britain, they are known every now and again to do U-turns. And I think what a good idea if she could only do a U-turn, because it's unanimous. Right across the board, you have Julian comes on and he puts all the figures out, absolutely brilliant. I do the common sense bit. I know Julian. He's another one who uses a pool amongst thousands and thousands down south. My wife uses it for a physical exercise to keep going. So do loads of people. That girl that was on, the lady earlier on, 73, was she?
Yeah.
Yep, I think. Yep, same as me. You know, we need the pool. Doctors recommend it to you. So there isn't a single subject that you can put your finger on that doesn't point to the fact that it's got to be kept open. The other thing I want to point out is that the money, this pool is godsend, right? And it is. Yeah, it's been the cheapest to run. Somebody keeps bringing up this 8-year period, right? I don't know why they're bringing up this 8-year period, but I'm dead familiar with what's happened in 8 years. That pool has only had 19,000 quid. All the others have had 250,000, 300,000. It's time to just say, yes, give it the money it wants simply because it is a must to be kept open. You know, we've blown money left, right and centre. I was just thinking the other day about the Liverpool. It ended up costing 70,000 pounds, right? 70-odd million, I mean. when I look at it and I think Liverpool Council should have paid for that. And the reason why I say that, I've just realised something else. You know, the road that they built, the bypass in Heysham to get to the boat, make it all easier.
Yep.
Well, the Manx people didn't pay for that, did they? That was Heysham people themselves. Their council paid for that. Why did we pay 70-odd million pounds for Liverpool thing when we don't even own it? God knows. The second thing is, I mentioned before, Shoe Peters used to use a word called conspiracy. I am absolutely sure that over the last 6, 7, 8 years, maybe where the 8 comes from, I don't know, there's a conspiracy been going on. The management itself and the staff have got no blame whatsoever to doing this. It's all, everything I've seen and studied has been the board itself and the other powers that be the higher. I actually spoke to the clerk of who's been dealing with all these figures that you've got, and I said something's wrong, didn't I? Well, I found out that she's even added in let me just say one thing first. There is an email possible from her to a member of staff that says the pool has only made a fraction of a profit last year. Right? That's her words, not nobody else's. But when everything, like wages and everything, are taken into consideration, it's made a loss. Well, what I'm suggesting is, this conspiracy bit, she has added the fact that there's been two females off there with maternity leave, right? And how insensitive can they be? We've had one person off who's on off long-term with cancer, a great lifeguard, if I may say so. We've also had another lady off whose husband has been dying. He's been in hospice, he's since died. He actually died 2 days after that this horrible board gave her a notice. How insensitive. The taxpayers, everybody I have spoken to over the last 2, 3, 4 weeks said, we don't mind paying our tax. Our taxes should go to something that we want it to go to. Nothing else. But so often these MHKs, they force things on us, right? We don't need a new grandstand. We don't need a new scoreboard. The old one was great and would have only cost £300, I believe, to fix. When is it going to stop this blowing money away? And let's have some common sense again. Julian does the figures, I do the common sense. Let's just ask the people in the Isle of Man, bit of common sense, keep the pool open until there's another one in place.
Okay,
simple
all right.
As that, Andy.
I appreciate that, Eddie. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks a lot, Andy.
All right, 11 minutes before one. Oh, Betty's back. Hi, Betty.
Hi, I just want to say that I object to what Bonzo saying that I misunderstood. I don't misunderstand. I still think that we don't need as many MHKs, and I think a lot of the work that they might do is just bureaucracy. And I still would like to know what they do all day.
Okay, well, no, I appreciate
that's all I want.
No, that's
to
fine.
Say.
That's your honestly held opinion, and that's very welcome on Man in Line. Thanks, Betty.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Oh, Julian's with us again. Hi, Julian.
Oh, so I'm doing a Howard because it's the first time I've been on twice on the same show. So I thought, you know, Howard does it so well. So I'm giving him a bit of competition today.
Okay.
Yeah, just a quick one. Jersey did actually look at doing an Olympic pool, and they seem to have shied away from it for a couple of reasons. One is Olympic pools, obviously, they're training hard. So the temperature is held down. So the normal pool temperature in any of the pools we've got in the community is about 29.5 degrees. So it's quite balmy, you know, a bit like, you know, if you're in somewhere nice in a nice warm sea. But the Olympic pools are held at 26. I seem to remember also that KWC was having a 4-lane one. So you can't compete at Olympic level in anything under an 8 or a 10-lane Olympic pool.
Oh, I see.
the other thing is, if you're going to teach young kids, the temperature is going to be difficult to move around for them because they cannot stand 26 degrees for more than a few minutes because, you know, you drop it 3 degrees. I mean, you know, it's like having a shower when your boiler's not up to temperature. And there's, I would calculate there's something around about 1 million litres of water in a 4-lane Olympic pool. I'm not quite sure on that one. And the last thing I was going to say was the school model in Jersey with a private pool, what ended up happening was the because it was a private thing, they were hiring out to schools, which meant that the community, it's not a community pool, of course, they only had access in the evenings outside of school time or in the evenings or on the weekend. So the access that we enjoy now in a community pool doesn't work in that business model.
Okay, all right.
So there's a few. Yeah. All right. Thanks
so
much.
I appreciate that, Julian. Thanks for straightening that out. Lots of numbers. As Eddie said, we got common sense as well. Imagine that. A budget breakdown on the cost of Liverpool ferry terminal has been produced by the Department of Infrastructure. Timwell members won't be debating it today, but the Public Accounts Committee is in the process of examining what it means, the budget breakdown of this famous Liverpool ferry terminal. So, what does the summary of the current £70 million project tell us? John Moss.
This slim document, padded out with photos of the construction work in progress, doesn't tell us much new. The original project, which when it was lodged was inside a World Heritage site, hit problems virtually from the word go. There was a delayed start due to necessary diversion of a high-voltage cable. COVID delayed work and pushed up prices. The 100 identified voids became 300 identified voids, and some very big. Then we heard the word scour, the effect powerful motors and particularly bow thrusters have on a seawall. But hang about, wasn't that something we should have been aware of some time ago? Former MHK Chris Robertshaw famously claimed we had sent in, negotiating terms, third division players against premier players, and they were outclassed. He also said we had been warned about this scouring.
This latest issue costing another £5 million has only come to light because we only at Christmas found out the power of the bow thrusters on the new ferry. That's absolute nonsense. What actually happened was a number of years ago, 3 to 4 years ago, our people were told, look, you're going to have problems with quayside issue and can we work with you on it and make the design decisions correct so that it won't blow up in our faces later on. It wasn't listened to. And I don't point the finger at officers here, but almost all the way through all those issues that I've discussed, we expect, because of the structure of our government, to push really big responsible issues down to operating officers and expect them to perform, which is just ludicrous and downright unfair.
There doesn't seem a lot we can do at this stage to ease the financial pain, maybe keep the final figure to 70 millions. Undoubtedly, if this budget breakdown gets debated by members eventually, the phrase lessons must be learned will be freely used. But historically, do we learn any lessons? In retrospect, this has been a very painful birth.
We will see what happens. And we might once again be able to fly from Ronald's Way to Blackpool if plans of the Fylde Coast Airport come to fruition. Commercial flights ceased, 2015, after the operation made significant losses. Since then, a buyout by Blackpool Council's rejuvenated the business with other services. However, it's also considering reintroducing flights to and from the Isle of Man. The leader of Blackpool Council is Lynn Williams.
In general, I mean, obviously the airport has, you know, never closed. We don't have the non-domestic, you know, flights. We don't have the capability for that. So what we've been doing is developing this the airport as a way of jobs and increasing opportunities. So we have helicopter flights, pilot training. We're doing quite well, actually, and it's a real growth area is in, you know, the private, small private airplane use. But we are actually looking at, because obviously the Blackpool to Isle of Man was a good viable route for our airport, Blackpool. And we're currently in discussions with two potential carriers who are interested in a regular service between the Isle of Man, Blackpool and Ireland.
So what's the council's view? I mean, what is the council's view as to where they want the airport to be, let's just say, in 5 years' time?
We want us just to continue to have, you know, a thriving open airport. And, you know, we are, as I say, we're looking at domestic flight routes that you know, that's going to take a couple of years, 2 to 3 years really to develop. But it's part, you know, it's a way of generating really good jobs and, you know, other investment in the town. And it's part of link with our enterprise zone, which is at that side of the, of the town. We would hope and would look to, that those could be reinstated. If the discussions go well with the potential carriers in 2 to 3 years.
Well, wait and see. That was Lynn Williams, leader of Blackpool Council, on the future of Blackpool Airport and flights to the Isle of Man. Now, tomorrow we've got a special, another Green Future special. John Curtis, the businessman, is the guy who took himself to COP26. I don't know whether you remember. Knows a lot about carbon footprints and how to establish a carbon footprint. And Paul Crane, MLC, will be on. So it's a Green Future special tomorrow. Just to see where we need to go. Somebody also mentioned earlier, Claire Barber, talking about hydrogen boilers. It's going to happen, non-fossil fuel boilers. Next Monday, Claire Barber, DEFA ministers on Man in Line. And a week today, Wednesday 29th, the Cabinet Office Minister, Kate Lord-Brennan, will be live on Man in Line. So a Green Future special tomorrow, thanks to Barry Redfern, producing Man in Line today. W-I-N-T.